Hello, 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 everybody, and welcome to the How We Scaled show. My name is Jeff Brandeis, president and founder of CEO of Brandeis Coaching and Brandeis Training Solutions. Each of our episodes will feature a CEO, VP of sales, or an entrepreneur that has scaled their business to six, seven, even eight figures. And on the show, we will ask questions to them about what they did that scaled their business, that grew their revenues, that made them what they are today. So you're ready to listen and learn? Stay tuned. One, two, and three. Here we go. Hey, welcome back, everybody, to our listeners. This is Jeff Brandeis with How We Scaled. Today, our special guest is Henry Das. Henry is an entrepreneur and author and does some other things in addition, like a real estate broker, I believe. Correct, Henry? Welcome to the show.
That's correct. Yeah, I just recently got my real estate license here in the state of Connecticut. So, sort of a new arrow in my quiver, as it were.
Awesome. That's fantastic. So, Henry, tell us a little bit about what you do and what your focus is today.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. Pleasure to be here. Talk to your audience. I am a serial entrepreneur. Started my first business over 30 years ago, as it turns out. So I've had a succession of different businesses, some really good, some not so good. One that I describe as an ignominious failure, or epic fail, I guess, is what the youngsters would call it these days. They wouldn't use such a fancy word. For the last 10 years, I've been coaching entrepreneurs in scaling their business, amongst other things. I wrote a book called FQ Financial Intelligence about 3 years ago. I sell a course. I do coaching around finance as well as coaching for entrepreneurs. And I've written 11 screenplays, and I travel the world when we're not on lockdown, and do all sorts of, play a lot of golf when I can, when the weather's nice. And yeah, so that's kind of me in a nutshell.
So that is great. So what got you into the entrepreneur life so early in your career?
Well, it wasn't that early. I was, I'm 62. I'll be 63 in July. So I was probably around 30-ish when I started. I worked for a big multinational company right out of college, because I had a degree in electrical engineering. And then I worked for the New York Stock Exchange as a programmer. So those were the only two cubicle world jobs that I had. I mean, I always thought I was going to start my own business. Just wasn't sure when and what it was going to be. And like a lot of businesses, I call it an accidental business, right? You know, there are really two flavors. There's the purposeful business where you sit down and say, here's the niche that I want to attack, and you write a business plan and you do all that stuff and you raise money. And then there's what I call the accidental business, which is, you know, a guy needed something and I said, hey, I can do that. And I hung up a shingle, and before you know it, I got business and you're off to the races. So that's a little bit of my backstory.
And you kind of like that aspect of life in the corporate world, huh?
Well, I have a rather off-color phrase that I've used many, many times before, and I'll use it, and you could edit it out if you don't like to, but I always used to say, if I'm going to have to wake up every day and go to work for some asshole, it might as well be me.
So, Henry, what's the biggest problem that you solve for your clients?
Well, you know, everything is very unique. I bill myself as a bespoke coach, which is a fancy word for custom, because every client is different and their brains work differently. So my main job is to sort of figure out what makes them tick, what their strengths and weaknesses are, maximize their strengths, come up with solutions to work around their weaknesses, and really get to the core of what's vexing them, because people don't come to me because everything's great, right? It's a little bit like a doctor. Most people go to the doctor when they're unhealthy, right? Something's wrong. And it's like, doc, it hurts when I do this. And the doctor says, well, then don't do that, right? You know, it's the rare cat who is monitoring things even when they're healthy. I happen to be one of them. I actually just went to the doctor, and I go, you know, every probably 3 to 6 months because I'm a type 2 diabetic, but I stay on top of it. Even if I'm feeling perfectly fine, you know, there are maybe things that are ticking in the background that are going to come up and bite you. And it's the same thing with entrepreneurship. Even though everything may seem successful and wonderful right now, sometimes things hiccup. I mean, COVID was the perfect example of it. The people whose businesses were just zipping along, and then all of a sudden things came to a screeching halt. Granted, those are unusual circumstances. And you can't be prepared for the absolute black swan event, but you do want to keep an eye down the road to look at headwinds that are coming and be proactive. And some people don't. They become complacent.
Now, on your site, you quote a famous Hall of Fame catcher from the New York Yankees, and I grew up in New York, and I'm a Yogi Berra fan as well. When you reach a fork in life, you got to decide which way to go. Tell us a little bit about the fork that you came to, what your challenge was, and what made you go that route.
Well, Yogi said, when you get to the fork in the road, take it. Right?
But you do have a choice.
You do have a choice. You definitely do. So, the fancy word for it, the entrepreneurial word, is pivot, right? People talk about pivoting. It's really overused, I would say. It's become a little bit of a meme or a trope or whatever you might want to call it. But you are constantly making adjustments as an entrepreneur. They may be what I call mini pivots, right? They're not. It's not a complete change of direction. Just might be a little bit of a course correction. And that is really the one constant in entrepreneurship, is that you are constantly changing course, even though it may not be radical. There may be little things, but you need to be aware of that, because there's always somebody out there who's trying to take your lunch from you, right? Just when you think you've got your business model solved, something will come in out of left field, some market force or some competitor, and they will disrupt you. Conversely, you want to disrupt things, right? You want to look at inefficiencies within the marketplace and say, hey, I can come up with a strategy that'll have a higher margin and a greater success, a greater chance of success than the way that we're currently doing things.
Definitely. I love that. So obviously the name of my podcast is How We Scaled. I'm curious, how have you grown in an entrepreneur that's been either starting out or struggling? You know, what have you done, or what kind of recommendations would you provide to them to help them grow their business to scale?
Well, it's interesting, because I kind of differentiate between growth and, you know, growing and scaling.
Yep.
Because some people will grow their business, but so they'll grow their top line, and that it'll give them the illusion that their business is, and I'm making air quotes when I say this, growing. But then they're seeing margin compression, and they may be growing their top line while shrinking their bottom line. That's a wake up call for you as a business owner. My personal theory is that there's only really two things you need to determine whether a business will be successful: gross margin and cash flow. So if you can master those two things, you can be successful selling paperclips or selling 747s, right? It's just the other areas of the business are going to be differentiated. So scaling, I really think of as growing while, you know, sort of getting a geometric increase in efficiency out of your business, but only doing a linear headcount increase or resource increase. So it's really just getting more out without just throwing resources at it. And that's my dog Elvis barking in the background, so ignore him. And that's an important thing for people to understand as a differentiator. You want to be able to scale. It's extremely important, but it's much tougher to do than to just grow, right? I'll do more marketing, I'll do more advertising, I'll get more business, but that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to be making more money.
It's all true. Henry, when you think about, you know, other folks that do coaching and other aspects of it, you know, what do you think is one of the most outdated advice that you hear other coaches providing to entrepreneurs or other leaders in business?
Well, I think the coaches really fall into two categories. I'm in category A, which is the custom coach. And then there is category B, which are the guys that are out there selling a program. And there's lots of them out there. And I'm not going to mention any of them by name, but people know what they are. And they've read the books. I don't think that those will work unless your brain, you know, positively aligns with that, right? So if you're going to go buy a course, 5 steps to scale your business or whatever the case may be, maybe 1 out of 10 people will knock it out of the park with that. And they'll swear that it works and it's great, but that's because it worked for the way that their mind works. But the other 9 folks will say, yeah, there were good bits and pieces out of it, but I can't follow a formula. That's not why I decided to be an entrepreneur. Right. I got out of Cubicle World because I felt that I could build something and do something better than the people that I was working for. It's just as simple as that. If you want to follow a formula and be an entrepreneur, then the solution for you comes in a single word: franchise. Right. Franchise is the best of both worlds. Right. Go buy a franchise. You'll go to a school. They'll teach you how to run it. You know, look at McDonald's, 30,000 plus McDonald's around the world, and not a single one of them has ever gone out of business. It's because they have a terrific formula. And the right entrepreneur can thrive in that sort of environment. But again, I think that's a very small percentage. People work for themselves because they want to do things the way they want to do them.
Yep.
Right? So that's really the difference between. I don't know if there's outdated advice. I mean, I see them all the time. Like, I don't know, I saw a commercial with Facebook, and it's like the character says, you know, put yourself out there. That's like the dumbest advice ever. That's not gonna do for someone who's struggling and stuck to just tell them, put yourself, that's worthless. You know, maybe it's fine for a commercial. But I look at it, it's like, that's not the last thing that people want to hear. That's not a strategic solution. I don't even know what that is. That's why I feel it's important for me to take the time, my clients, to really understand what makes them tick, so that we can custom tailor whatever program it is for them.
I think that's awesome. Now, Henry, tell us a little bit about your book, Financial Intelligence, please.
So I was at a conference in Bangkok with a whole bunch of what are called digital nomads or location independent businesses, probably about 300. And there were, I think, at least a half a dozen of my clients there. And, you know, I do everything virtually. I do everything through pretty much since I started. I do everything via Zoom, and I've had clients all over the world. So it was an opportunity to actually have some people from Asia, Europe, Australia, and to actually meet them, because I'm doing everything virtually. So during the conference, I was at a mastermind group with a bunch of entrepreneurs who were coaches, and we were talking about our Jim Collins BHAG, our big, hairy, audacious goal. And I said, well, I want to write a book sharing all my 40 years of knowledge in how to grow and manage your money. And so actually I wanted to build a course on it. And then I got back home, I got motivated, and I wrote this 100,000 words. I wrote a course, 18 modules. I tested it. I got a dozen volunteers to test it with me. And then as I was about to launch, a few of them said, hey, you know what? This would make a really good book. You could use the book as your lead magnet. And so I said, all right, let's make it a book, which was a huge project. Took like people will laugh, but it took like a year really to do it because there's so much stuff that goes into it. I had 250 infographics. And my guy who was laying it out and in design says, look, these aren't going to work. They're not going to print properly. So I had to hire a guy out of Croatia, I think, on Fiverr, who for 10 bucks a piece would turn them into vectors. So I'd send them and he'd convert them. It was very important to me that the book be done as professionally as possible because I self-published it. And for your listeners, I give it away for free. So if you go to my website, Henry Daas, henrydaas.com, you can click on a link and download it for free.
Awesome.
Because I want people to read it. You know, there's a lot in there. My tagline is everything you need to know from your first savings bond to your last will and testament. So
that's a great gift. So thank you for sharing that with the audience.
Yeah.
So speaking about your audience, is there a particular niche or sector that you focus in on from a coaching perspective or advice perspective?
Well, I've worked with, you know, everything from old school family owned brick and mortar companies to, you know, FBA, you know, fulfilled by Amazon resellers, SEO companies, agencies that deal with all sorts of tech stuff. Certainly there's an enormous amount of opportunity in the technology space. Location independent or digital nomads, you know, a guy with a laptop in Bali. And I know some people like that who run their little agency from a beach in, you know, Southeast Asia. That didn't exist. You know, it certainly didn't exist in the 90s. You know, I founded my first business before the internet was even a thing. But now with broadband being available, you know, everywhere around the world, you can run your businesses with virtual staffs. You know, you can have staff I've had clients who've had staff in Eastern Europe, in the Philippines, a very popular place. You can staff up for the amount that you're willing to pay for that help. I have virtual assistants that I use. We've never even met. Just like, you know, clients that we've never physically met. And that's huge. Now, the other side of the coin is because the barriers to entry to those businesses are so low, the competition is fierce, right? I mean, I talk about the coaching business. There's no barriers to entry for the coaching business. Anybody who's listening to this thing could tomorrow put up a website and say they're a coach. They could coach anything, right? I went, you know, I was at that same conference and someone who was a coach did a seminar about how to scale your coaching business. And there were 40 people in the room. There were life coaches and food coaches. There was even a woman in there who was a Pinterest coach. I'd never heard of such a thing. So, you know, and I've hired tons of coaches for my kids over the year, tennis coaches and swimming coaches and all, you know, SAT coaches. So there's no barriers. So again, no barriers to entry, but that means anybody can do it. So what is your unique value proposition that you're offering, whether it be a coaching business or anything else that's out there? You need to have some kind of secret sauce. My secret sauce is me. It's really just all it is. It's the best way that I can distill it. But if you're doing a fulfilled by Amazon business, and you're playing in that sandbox, there really needs to be some unique value proposition. Otherwise, you're just selling commodities and eventually you'll get crushed by somebody who's bigger, faster, and cheaper than you are. And that's, you know, that's, that'll wake you up in the middle of the night.
The Kevin O'Leary Shark Tank.
You're
about to get crushed.
You're about to get crushed. And you want to stay ahead of that. That's why you hire a coach before a crisis occurs. And then you need that coach. Because at that point, it may not be savable. And I've run into that situation before where it's like, dude, this is going to be really, really tough.
I get it. So, Henry, I've learned a lot, and I thank you so much for the offer of the book to our audience. If the audience would like to get more information about you, where to reach you, how to find you, is there any other methodology for them to reach out?
Yeah, they can go. The Henry Doss site is just my sort of vanity site, which has all links to all my stuff, including my screenplays and my baseball card collection, pictures. I just came back from Kenya on a safari with my wife, so I got pictures of my Kenya safari. But the business site is Doss Knowledge, D-A-A-S knowledge.com. And that has all sorts of different stuff on it. And I have, you know, free PDFs that I give away. You know, 5 reasons small businesses fail is like a 25-page PDF that you can kind of read, give you a sense of what I'm all about. And if you want to, you know, sign up for a strategy session, you just click the little button that says get my help. There's no cost to you. I'm happy to chat with people. I chat with them all the time to see if it's a fit, right? As the millennials like to say, you know, are we a fit? And if we're not, good luck and Godspeed. And if we are, you know, happy to work with you.
That sounds awesome. So, Henry, thank you so much for joining How We Scaled. Totally appreciate having you on the show. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff.
My pleasure. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Again, this is Jeff Brandeis with How We Scaled with another episode coming your way very soon. Thank you, everyone. Stay safe. Thank you so much for joining. I truly hope everyone enjoyed the podcast here and our special guest. I know each of you are really excited to possibly even be a guest on our podcast. So feel free to fill out the application form that's below. We'll follow back up with you, be in touch with you, and be great to have you. In addition, I know I'll be reaching out to you to see how we might be able to even do some business and have a conversation about working together. Again, thank you so much for joining our podcast. And if you do know of someone else that actually would like to be on the podcast, feel free to recommend him or her to also fill out the application below. Again, thank you so much for joining. Have a great day and see you next week on How We Scale.